So good morning, everybody. And good morning to any of you who are sports fans, too. NFT.NYC has been called the Super Bowl of NFTs. So we're all excited to be here. Congratulations to Jody and Cameron. This is the fifth consecutive What's Next in Sports panel that we've had the privilege of doing. My name is John Kosner, and I'm a veteran of sports media. I've worked at CBS Sports, the National Basketball Association, Sports Illustrated, and for over 20 years I was at ESPN, the last 15 of which I got to run digital media. So it's a privilege to be here. We have a stellar panel for you guys today. Now, to my right, Pet Barista. Pet is founder of the Sporting Crypto newsletter. For any of you guys who are interested in sports and blockchain, please subscribe to this newsletter. It's also free. Previously, Pet was at Copa 90, and he was also the producer of the Blockchain Insider podcast. Next to him, Brad Feinstein. So Brad is head of Web3 for North America at Amazon Web Services, AWS. He focuses on identifying ways to help customers scale. Before joining AWS, Brad was the head of global business development and strategy at Consensus, home of the Ethereum blockchain. He's also a two-time founder. Finally, Brad was instrumental in getting AWS's sponsorship of this conference. So thank you, Brad.
Reclaim the fame.
Finally, Escher Weiss, co-founder and CEO at Sixology, which is a blockchain ticketing startup. Previously, Escher ran digital for the Golden State Warriors. I am proud to be an investor and advisor in Escher's company. So we're going to get started. We'll start with you, Pat. Talk about Sporting Crypto, how it got started, what its focus is.
Sure. So thanks for having me. So I'm Morgan. About a year and a half ago, I was having so many wild and wonderful conversations with the people who were interested in the kind of intersection between sports and Web3, whether it be someone starting another NFT collection that was something to do with sports, or someone wanted to start a DAO to buy a sports team, and so on and so forth. And it was quite overwhelming. It was a real learning experience for me, even though I worked in the sports sector or adjacent to it, but also in the kind of blockchain space for 4 or 5 years previously. I was still learning every day with these kind of conversations, and so I found it quite cathartic to write some of my thoughts and opinions down and start building a thesis around where I thought this kind of space was going to go. And we're now at kind of 2,500 plus subscribers, read by some of the biggest rights holders globally, and it's been a blast, and it's one of my main focuses now.
It's great. Brad, how does the cloud and Amazon Web Services fit into Web3?
Absolutely. So AWS provides products and services to help startups, enterprises, and builders build. We provide dedicated account teams to provide solution architects, products to help our customers scale. We introduce 200 plus native services. We're best in the world at helping our customers understand how to build on top of AWS. Web3 means products that work, that are reliable, that are safe and secure. AWS is able to provide those infrastructure products to help the next generation of builders reinvent the internet.
Escher, why is the future of ticketing NFTs?
Yeah, so coming from the sports world, first with the Orlando Magic and then with the Warriors, you know, there's just such a long list of pain points in the ticketing industry that I think people have kind of accepted as the norm and the status quo. But ultimately, you know, it doesn't have to be that way. As I, you know, learned more and more about blockchain over the past several years, became, you know, a massive believer that blockchain technology does have the power to solve a lot of those pain points for capturing more accurate data on who the true fans are, capturing revenue from secondary sales, eliminating fraudulent tickets completely. I'm sure a lot of us have had that experience showing up at an event where your ticket won't work or someone's already scanned it in. And then finally, just engaging with the fan base on a deeper level. Today, that's such a fragmented experience when it comes to the ticket sale versus food and beverage, parking, other aspects of your event experience. So trying to bring that all into one clean ecosystem and the data capture and verification and tracking that tickets on the blockchain can provide can help us start to solve a lot of those pain points.
So one of the realities that we all deal with is there's tremendous promise in the potential, and there are already some breakout products, but relatively few people, relatively few sports fans are using them today. Pat, in the most recent newsletter, you talked about the significance of the Reddit avatar program and this concept of sort of Web 2.5. Can you get into that a little bit? Because I think it sort of indicates where we are now and gives a vision, I believe, of the kinds of things we're going to need to do.
Sure. First and foremost, the caveat is that although not that many people are using some of these kind of sports Web 3 products, whether it be So Rare or Topshop or NFL All Day, it's because you can't hide on the blockchain, right? The numbers are the numbers, and you can see who's making transactions on the blockchain. Whereas, fancy gaming products or any other kind of sports fan products, you can kind of twist the monthly average users or daily average users to kind of suit your pitch. So, first and foremost, someone that had kind of a financial technology background where you hear X million people are using this fintech or challenger bank, you just knew all those numbers were kind of rubbish. And I think that's kind of true for a lot of Web2 products globally. And so although some of these numbers aren't massive, I think they are a lot closer to some of the kind of mainstream products that we would probably imagine. I think with Reddit, which is why it's so amazing how well that product's done. That they've had over 10 million mints and claims of their NFTs. They did an amazing collaboration with the NFL during the Super Bowl, where I think they had almost 2 million claims of the kind of Reddit avatar collectibles that they created to represent each team. And I think the unlock there is because of the simplicity. And what they've done is allow people to customize their Reddit profiles with an avatar that is just tradable. And that's that one unlock. That psychological impact on the user base has been incredible to see. They're gonna create secondary markets. We're gonna see probably quite a lot of volume on there. But I do think the kind of next wave, an iteration of kind of products within sports, but outside of it as well, and the kind of NFT space, kind of be going to be this halfway house between this Web 2.5 money, like Web 2 in the front or Web 3 in the back.
So, and this is for any of you guys. We saw beginning in COVID the explosion of NBA Top Shot and Dapper Labs. We've seen a lot of success with So Rare's launch in soccer in Europe and in baseball, basketball here, but things short term sort of have plateaued. Where do you think we are with those two products specifically, and what does it tell us?
Yeah, I'll take a stab at this one. Personally, NBA Top Shot in the very early workings of it was something that kind of brought me deeper into the space. So I've been a big fan of that since the beginning. And our tech's actually fully built on Flow as well now. A lot of, it inspired by kind of this Web 2.5. How do we make it as accessible as possible for people to get onboarded and to buy their first NFT as a ticket without even maybe knowing it's an NFT? So I think with, what they've built there, they have, kind of a strong but mighty community. And I think, there's with NBA Top Shot, it's going to be about continuing to bring more people in. And I think the simpler that, teams and the league can make it for people to get involved, the better. So I think, giveaways, promoting it at the games, bringing it into the broadcast as well. I think those are the types of things. I think there's still, a lot of fans out there that would be excited by the concept, but either don't know enough about it or, maybe shy away from onboarding. And so I think, there's still a lot to be done there and harnessing that really powerful connected community as well.
I'll follow that up. There's a much bigger vision here that we'll get to. And the idea is there's a fragmented user profile for sports fans right now. I will go to a game, I will buy a jersey, I will follow my favorite players, I will play these sports. I will participate in all of these touch points. However, they were built in silos. They were built for each specific platform to have that data. And that was the economic model of sports and licensing. And if we look into the crystal ball of the world in which I want to be participating in, a wallet, for example, will comprise all of these assets. Indexing tools, query tools, will be able to identify across your experiences where you have participated. I hope for the idea of legacy fandom, generational fandom, that will exist where my participation in this ecosystem can be identified across the different touch points and eventually provide these incredible surprise and delight experiences that it's not segmented into the various platforms. And once we can get there, which is the aspiration, we will begin to have these incredible experiences. And that is the state of where we're at right now. We're testing, we're exploring, we're understanding what the different pieces of this technology can provide, which will ultimately introduce this incredible future experience for sports fans.
Yeah, and going off that too, I think another exciting piece is that it's beneficial to both the teams and the venues, but also the fans. And so creating this ecosystem where the venues are able to capture more data on who the true fans are and their event behavior, but on the fan side, they're getting offers that are actually more relevant to them and things that they actually care about. So, whether that's discounts on merchandise from showing up to certain games, that's, opportunities to buy tickets before anyone else because of the fandom. It's exciting that it no longer has to just be that one-way desire to sell something to the fan, but the fan can actually be excited about what they're being offered.
Got anything to add?
I think the connectivity point is the key, right? I think this is a marketer's dream. If you kind of think about an on-chain network of fans that can be leveraged in a permissionless way by pretty much any vendor, within reason, right? You don't want kind of illicit or inappropriate vendors kind of leveraging a sports fan network. I think the opportunities there are incredible. I'll caveat, and this may be even playing devil's advocate a little bit, the vision that kind of Brad so truly speaks of, I do think the middle point of that is, well, one, product market fit, but also kind of business market fit. So how do a lot of these protocols sustain themselves, and then how do a lot of the applications that are built on them create sustainable business models? And I think that's the next stage. I mean, the reason that So Rare and Topshop that have been so successful is because they've been able to drive strong revenues, acquire licenses, market in a really high budget, strong way through the kind of licenses that they've acquired, and acquire enough users to keep them afloat. And that can't be said for that many kind of NFT projects. They're still figuring out business models that are sustainable.
One of the big differences just in the 5 years we've been doing this panel, and you can see it this morning, is just the quality of people who are involved in this project. Chris Pantoja, who was the woman running NBA League Pass, moved over to Fan Control Football. I don't know how many of you are familiar, but they're doing some amazing things. Their 2022 season was done on the blockchain. They brought out what they call baller NFTs. These enable their fans to draft players, get involved in play calling, rules and sponsorship. All of it generating engagement, which wound up leading to points and leaderboards on their broadcasts. They allow people to buy these, you buy these using fiat currency. They refer to them as avatars, not NFTs, sort of abstracting out the technology. They're going to be launching basketball in Atlanta later this year, and that's a super interesting project and one to watch.
I was just going to maybe go slightly against the grain. I'm a big fan of experimentation. I think what Fan Control Football has done is really interesting and exciting. I do think this idea of sports fans picking plays, choosing who the players are, etc., etc., it's actually quite niche. Like, I don't know how many sports fans actually want to do that. I think they want to have a say and an involvement, participation in the sports teams or players that they so truly follow and have a massive affinity to. I do think there is maybe a slight oversaturation in the involvement there, but again, it's not too far away from projects like LinkStyle and so on and so forth that have done incredibly well. So excited to see where it goes.
Like to open it up for questions, if anybody has a question for the panel. Anybody, go ahead.
I'm thinking about the fan tokens that have been released in the past 2 years. How do you see those playing out in the future, especially in like football clubs in Europe, I think, where you have an existing community unlike sort of American sports teams, which don't want their franchises, as opposed to like a localness of like a Sunderland, for instance? Like, how does that play for you?
Just to repeat so everyone can hear, the question was about fan tokens and where they go. Socios is the main vendor, but I think that a lot of others have kind of played in the space. I personally think the idea of fan tokens is a great one, and I know we're straying from NFT slightly, but it's adjacent. I do think the current model doesn't really make much sense. I mean, I'll give you an example. Atletico Madrid, big sports or football club, or soccer, sorry, club in Spain. They won the league title. Their token rose to $26. And it then fell to $1 after everyone realized that there's no reason this is going up other than traders upping and dumping it. And that doesn't make sense for sports fans. I also think, technologically speaking, the way that Chili's and Socios have kind of managed this and needing a Chili's token to buy a fan token, again, doesn't really make much sense. I think the biggest key flaw or and I think this is a pretty major one, and one that will unravel over the next 3-4 years in one way or another. I'm not saying this in a defeatist way, but these have been sold in the guise of sponsorship agreements. So you were getting 3 years worth of licensing to have an official Atletico Madrid or an official Golden State Warriors token, and once that licensing deal ends, they are then unofficial. The issue that sports teams have there is they have no control when these things go out into the world. As we've seen, this is another unregulated market. And once these licensing agreements end, there could be a lot of sticky issues there.
It also makes you think of kind of what you were just mentioning about fan control of football. I think with the fan token and other leagues and teams like this where they're trying to get that fan involvement and the token or the NFT ownership allows for some voting rights, I think everyone's still trying to figure out what fans actually want to vote on.
I don't know if they want to vote on the theme music.
Yeah, exactly. Like, the first song that plays in the commercial break or whatever it may be, right? So I think that's another piece that will continue to be figured out, what people are interested in.
Yeah. Next question?
There's one over there.
Hi, my name's Caroline. I head up the foundation for a Formula One racing team.
Ah.
So I'm really intrigued from a kind of sports team perspective. Do you think the big opportunity is kind of what Asher was saying, like solving a pain point, the use of NFTs, whether that's like mobile ticketing or kind of avoiding counterfeit ticketing? Or do you think there's a bigger opportunity in using NFTs to bring in a new audience, so like a Web3 community into your sporting fan base? And if so, have you seen that done well?
I would turn it over to the panel. I think the answer is both.
Do you want to repeat the question, John, before we get into it?
I'm summarizing. What's ultimately the highest use if you're a team for an entity? What are you really trying to get at? What's ultimately going to be successful?
My thought here is there's two paths. The first is going to be, do you want to create and they will come? Do you think that you understand your consumer base enough to go out and build something that they want. That's an innovation journey. And the second half is going to be listening. What do they want? So if you know that they will come versus hearing what they want, the short answer is we are still very much in the exploration phase. However, given the larger economic environment that we're in, I believe the pace, the speed, the recognition of ROI, whatever that may be for you and your team, has been accelerated, right? Whatever it is that you intend to do needs to produce faster because we are at that pace of change. So what is going to result is going to push the creators, the builders, the applications to either die, unfortunately, be the graveyard of products that don't succeed, or get better. And that is the interesting journey we're on now.
Yeah, I think, and adding to that as well, like kind of, you know, around whether it's engaging new fans or engaging the existing fans, I personally think the existing fans, there's still such an untapped market when we think about exposure to NFTs and blockchain. You still only scratch the surface, and there's such a large group of fans out there that aren't engaging with the teams, don't get to see the teams or venues in person ever, right? Like Warriors, over 90% of the fan base never comes to the stadium. So I think it's a lot of it is going to be about how we bring those fans in that have no Web3 exposure previously, making it comfortable and easy for them to get involved and quickly see the benefits of getting involved so they stick around and want to continue to engage.
I just want to add very quickly, totally agree. I think the amount of effort it would take to onboard Web3 users into sport is just not worth it, even though they might be high net worth, more likely to collect, and so on and so forth. I actually think where the big opportunities are on loyalty, engagement, and then what we've seen traditionally with merchandising, which is a massive revenue route for sports teams in a digital sense, and kind of connecting all those worlds via Web3.
Thank you all.